It is Columbia Morning, and we like talking to a school board member, and we have the president of the school board with us today after last night's Columbia Public School Board meeting. Darren Priest is here. It's good to see you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Let's jump right into this, and I told you, I really think that the plans for the new middle school look terrific.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a nice new building, and it's going to be great for the south side and to relieve some of the stress and over-enrollment at Gentry and to redistribute all of our enrollment for middle schools and get our numbers better balanced.
We'll talk about some of the specifics in a moment, but I told you what I wanted to ask you first. I'm going to jump right into this one. I remember past conversations whenever there's a new school, and when they talk about designing a new school, I've had guests on, I think, school board members and school administrators who have said, well, we're going to use the same plan that we used for this school for the next school. It'll save us money in design. Mm-hmm. Your answer to me off the air is a good one, so I want everybody else to hear. Why can't you use like a Smithton floor plan or a Gentry floor plan, two fairly new, in my book, middle schools for this new middle school and maybe save some money?
I'm not going to comment on your age if you think those are new schools.
Well, come on. Those are fairly
new.
Fair enough,
relatively speaking.
How old are those schools?
In the life of a community, I think they're 20 years
really?
In that neighborhood. I'd have to look.
Smithson and Gentry?
Maybe 94.
Wow.
So.
Well, then time has passed way too quickly.
They're getting up there. I apologize for bringing that up. But so a couple of things there. One is, we want to make sure that we get it right. And the school design has evolved over the years. We really have a commitment to not overbuilding. We want to make sure that we are efficient in our construction and that we can meet the needs of both the students and faculty and the community. And so we've learned a lot of things. You know, I think our elementary school design we have right now. So we've done that. We're building our third school under the same design, and it has options for expansion. The flow works really well. We've got separate bus entrances and parent entrances. Traffic flow is a big consideration in looking at schools and design and how it lays on a particular piece of land. And so the middle schools, I would say we're still learning. We're still getting the best flow. And, we've restructured the grade levels over the last few years, and we want to make sure that we are designing a building that's specifically for those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and that we can segregate the things that need to be segregated. We want to make sure that there's great community entry for sporting events and for using the building outside of educational purposes. Bottom line, we're continuing to learn, and I think that this new design is going to suit our needs for a long time.
As $36 million, how does that compare to the building of Battle or the Battle Elementary or High School, either one? How is $36 million compared to recent building projects for a school?
Right where it should be. I'm going to dodge that one a little bit because I don't know the exact numbers. Battle High School was more expensive. It was, I think, around $100 million or so, a little less than that, $90 million. It's right in the ballpark. The land is going to be a little bit less expensive. We won't have to do a whole lot of improvement to the land itself. We'll really be putting the bulk of the money into the build.
Listening to what you say as far as the new design is concerned, I think is terrific. It does strike me, though, the disparity between elementary schools and then disparities between middle schools, high schools, some also, although there are fewer of them. In other words, the experience of going to West Middle School will be nothing like the experience of going to the as of yet unnamed new middle school.
Well, I don't think we're going to go back and tear everything right down and start from scratch so that they're all of the exact same building. I will say that we really stress equity in terms of our faculty and really making sure that we have the best teachers available for students. And there is a tremendous amount of consistency from school to school as that's concerned and as far as the, development and implementation of curriculum. So I think that students really will have similar experiences. Yes, the halls will be different and the classrooms will be different. And, we're using modern design techniques. There are going to be some really cool components of this new school. But again, we learn and we evolve and we apply what we are learning to the future rather than just kind of getting stuck in the mud.
So let's talk about this school. If I'm going out Sinclair off of Nifong
or
whatever, mm-hmm. and I'm going past Mill Creek Elementary School. That's on my right. On my left, eventually, would be an entrance to like Heritage Meadows and Heritage Estates. And I can't remember what the other up the hill, Heritage another Woods. Very nice place. Mm-hmm. And before I get to the Cascades,
right.
Where is this school?
So it's exactly like you described. So you're going down Sinclair, south on Sinclair. You're going to pass two fairly well-established neighborhoods, and it'll be the next lot to the south of those properties. So a good mile up
north. And it will be on the left side
of Sinclair. Yes.
Okay. So now, where's the school district in regard to knowing? Because I read something about, in addition to talking about the design of the school last night, there was also the talking about how you have to, here it is, the Midwest Environmental Consultants doing their looking phase two of the environmental site assessment.
Sure. Like any new property, as any homeowner would do, we're doing our due diligence and making sure that the land is good land. So we're doing soil samples and really checking it out. If we find any problems with it, then we won't close on it. We have a contingency in the contract so that we can really make sure that we feel comfortable with that property.
It says here that they propose, and you have to help me out. I got this from the agenda last night, but I'm not sure whether it was something that you went ahead with last night or whether this had already been agreed to or maybe it had already been completed. But 13 soil borings to a depth of 10 feet below the ground surface and a photo ionization detector to be utilized to field screen the soil. Is this to be done or has been done?
That is to be done. And there'll be three soil samples that go down 25 feet. So that's the next phase of the testing. And assuming that comes back clean, as all of our tests to this point have, then we can move forward.
Darren Priest is our guest. You can join us. We're talking about the Columbia Public School Board meeting last night and other school issues. Our phone number is 442-8255. This will have to be done pretty soon because you want to move as quickly as you can on this middle school.
That's exactly right. So the goal, the finish line is fall of 2020. That's when we want to open the doors for the first day of class. So if you start going back from that, you know, it takes a good, 18 months, 24 months for a build. We don't want to rush that too much because we want to make sure we're doing it right. The design phase is just about done. Once the design is done, then they can start doing the engineering, the blueprints, and all of the details that we need to get that in place. Then next spring, we start the process of looking at boundaries and who all is going to go to that school. That will affect all middle schools and high schools. So, you know, we're going back to the drawing board to make sure that we get that right. We want to make sure that the attendance areas make sense for the schools and for the community. And then we go into the build next fall.
Let's talk more about that, because that is going to be a big project. What you just said, as far as the boundaries are concerned, you're talking about redrawing boundaries for all schools. Mm-hmm. And that would come up. What is the time schedule on that?
So we'll start that process in the fall. We want to make sure that people...
This fall?
In the spring of 18. So we want to make sure that is done well in advance, at least a year in advance of the students that will go there. There's nothing more sensitive than changing attendance areas. We have struggled with that over the last couple of years, trying to adjust to the tremendous and fast growth that our community is experiencing. So we want to do that as far in advance as we possibly can. Like I said, the minimum we will have is a year so that parents know what to expect for their children and what to expect as they go into all their grade levels.
We know, if we've been paying attention, of the recent struggles and growing pains around Gentry Middle School and what that challenge was like to temporarily redraw their boundaries. Mm-hmm. So the process to, in a more permanent way, redraw all boundaries of all the schools. And again, that won't change everybody. But again, that could lead to some changes. I will put myself on the line. It doesn't seem that many years ago, but apparently it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, maybe 10, when that was done the last time. And some people found that instead of going to Rock Ridge, they were going to Hickman High School. So this is going to, it's time for that to happen again. The city has changed in a decade.
That's exactly right. And we have made a commitment to analyze our attendance areas every year and make adjustments as necessary. Obviously, we don't want to do that very often because it is kind of a dramatic event. But we feel like as big a group of students will be shifting to the new middle school, we really need to take a look at everything. We've had this great flow of, two middle schools for each high school. that's not going to work with seven middle schools. So we have to take a look at that and see how it will all work. And really, we want, you know, we want this to make sense. We look at demographics, of course, but the last thing we, you know, want to hear is, you know, people saying, I just drove right past my school or a school to get to my son's school. We want to try to make these boundaries make sense and, again, to fit the community's needs as best we can.
It's not like you have any reason to gerrymander as they would in a political situation
right.
when you're talking about state representative or U.S. representative. You try to make the most sense out of what it means to send children to schools.
Yes and no. We do want to balance demographics as much as we can. We know that all students do better when there's a mix of culture and socioeconomic status and background. So we do want to get that balance as close as we possibly can. We can't change neighborhoods, though. So you know, we do see schools with different demographics, with different rates of free and reduced lunch enrollment, and that's going to continue to happen. So we want to balance those demographics with, you know, just geographic common sense.
Tell me whether this is a true statement or not. And because of what you do in your regular job, your paid job, I'm curious as to your reaction to this. It seems to me like reaction to what you just said is sometimes stronger on those who would say, don't create more diversity in my school by bringing in some of the people who get free and reduced lunches than it is from the schools where there already is a high level of that. And part of that is common sense. What I'm saying is not creating any new alignment of,
sure.
of great insight, but
sure.
you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For example, parents who are in a situation where they understand the diversity, and I guess I'm looking at this from a position where they welcome the opportunity to have their children share that space, whereas others who have not had to experience that maybe would not appreciate it as much.
Well, you know, I'm not making this up. The numbers are very clear that kids, all kids, do better when there's a mix, when they have a balance of different types of people in their classrooms and different types of teachers. We know that they do better. We don't want to hide kids from the realities of the world, and so that mix helps to helps them to understand the world better and to think differently about solving problems and working on projects together with different types of students. So it really, you know, it's pretty simple in my mind that kids do better when there's a good mix.
It's sometimes harder to sell that, though, to those who haven't experienced that.
Sure. And I mean, with my school board hat on, I don't feel like I need to sell that. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We're committed to academic success and the performance of all students. And all of the research indicates that that's the best way to go. With my other hat, I'm the executive director at Central Missouri Community Action. I do recognize that some convincing needs to take place. We spend a lot of time, you know, trying to help people understand the realities of poverty and the impact of culture on one's economic success. And, you know, that work will continue. That's part of the reality of any community. I think that, you know, Columbia obviously has struggled with that over the last couple of years. It's kind of been swept out from underneath the carpet. And that's a good thing. It gives us the opportunity to talk about what makes us a community and what makes us different and what makes us great.
Darren Preece, again, is our guest. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call us. Since I don't think you'll mind me asking this next question. For many people, the first day of school, and again, I'm thinking from the middle class or above the middle class, it's like, well, this is exciting. We have gone out and we've hit the sales. We've got the supplies. We've got the kids, and they probably got a new, you know, they got new clothes to wear today. But you see a lot of families who would experience the first day of school completely different. What is it like? What can you tell us might be like for people who are not experiencing the first day of school like many of us who have experienced the first day of school think of the first day of school?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the saddest things in the world is to see a six-year-old walking around on the street on the first day of school with no awareness that it's the first day of school. So we have kids and families that aren't plugged into what's going on around them, and oftentimes crisis makes it difficult to really sort of think long term and to see, you know, to prepare for the first day of class and those types of things. But so once we get them into school, then we've got to start, you know, getting them to class is one of our getting them to school, keeping them in class and catching them up. Those are some of our goals with Columbia Public Schools. And so, you know, we certainly have families who don't feel connected to the schools. They may not have had a very positive experience in the schools themselves, so they're reluctant to be in the schools. They might drop their kid off and go on about their day. And so it's our responsibility to embrace those students when they come, no matter what their background is, no matter what their experience has been, no matter what kind of crisis is going on around them, and give them a home away from home and make sure that they feel safe and protected and create the platform for them to learn.
I taught for a while, but when I was going through my education to learn how to be a teacher, I never remember being taught anything about how to deal with mm-hmm. those who come from those kinds of backgrounds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have a long ways to go in that as well. Education is evolving. You know, we are learning more and more that project-based learning seems to help engage students in different ways because they're attracted to the things that they're sort of naturally interested in. So some of the teaching strategies, some of the pedagogy is moving us in the direction of engaging all students. But we still have a long ways to go in acknowledging what's happening outside of the classroom. And it's something that personally I'm very interested in working with the school district to increase the opportunities for engagement and to create more of a comfort zone for both teachers and parents to connect beyond their child, but to really look at what the goals of the district are and relate those to what the goals of those parents are.
We are visiting with the school board president, Darren Priest. Today is the first day of school. We've covered a lot, including the new plans for the middle school, which received public comment. Let me just ask you one or two final things on that. Public comment was pretty good last night?
You know, we actually didn't have any comment.
I'm sorry,
during...
they got to see.
Yeah, so we had an open house, yeah. And we had a fair amount of interest. And, you know, I hope that we will get more people involved in the process. We really want to make sure that this is a facility that meets the needs of the community as well as students, as teachers, as I mentioned earlier. So, you know, things like having a good flow from the parking lot into the gym space or into the auditorium without having to go into the academic areas of the building. We can keep those locked down and protected, but make that building very accessible so that, you know, we want to use that building as much as we possibly can. We want to just make it a heartbeat for that side of town. So we're very excited about it. We did get a lot of positive feedback. One of the comments that I appreciated the most is people really like having separate bus entrances from the parent pickup line. We've got enough space to stack about 30 cars deep in the parent pickup line, and it'll be totally segregated from where the buses enter and exit from the north side of the building.
That is a luxury that not all schools enjoy right now. I'm thinking about that is not a luxury they have right now.
This is one of the growing pains of our community.
Grant
Elementary is going through a pretty major expansion right now. This year will be a little dicey as we continue to build onto Grant Elementary, but we'll get through it, and we will work closely with the parents to make sure that their needs are met.
So what did administrators say last night in the meeting in anticipation of the first day of school? What to expect other than what you're just talking about there, but were there any overall comments about the first day of school from any administrator?
Well, we're always very excited about it. It is a great day. It's why we do what we do. You know, I have to give a shout out to the teachers. We were talking off air. It is a very challenging profession. It gets more and more difficult every year. We have just a tremendous professional, high quality teaching staff all across the district. So shout out to all of them. You know, the last couple of years, we've added jumpstart days for sixth graders and ninth graders. Kindergartners will start on Thursday, so we've staggered that a little bit so that we to give students new to a building a little bit more opportunity to get used to their surroundings and the flow, so that on the first day today everything goes as smoothly as possible. And I haven't gotten any texts or anything that there've been any problems, so I'm assuming, knock on wood, that we're off to a fantastic start.
So let me ask you about next Monday. What kind of comments have you had as the president of the school board about the eclipse day on the 21st?
So everybody's really excited about it, and I can't get enough. I'm pretty jazzed about the whole thing. So we've had a few people that have suggested that we should be closed that day so that you know, students can be with their parents and experience that together. I would go back to our earlier conversation that not all parents have the capacity or the time or the, you know, time off of work to really focus on something like that. So we are creating a fantastic opportunity for students. We're going to do a couple of things. We want to make sure that safety's first. You know, this type of event, we're all looking at the sun, for crying out loud. That is a very dangerous thing to do. So we've got 50,000 pairs of eclipse glasses for all of the students and volunteers. I think I stated that wrong. We've got 50 pairs extra for all of the volunteers in the building, but then every student will have a pair of eclipse glasses. We'll do drills with all of the students so that they know when it's appropriate to have the glasses on, when they can take them off for that 2 minutes to look at the eclipse with the naked eye. And then we'll do all kinds of science curriculum activities to make sure that they understand what the phenomenon actually is and why they should be interested in it. And you could look at it from a science perspective, from a biology perspective, from an art perspective, from a literary perspective, you name it. Every kid is going to have an opportunity to really have fun with this and to blend in that event with what's happening in the schools.
I like the idea that school's in session. I know a lot of people would quibble with that, but I just think that the opportunities to share this in that setting will be valuable for the kids.
I'll tell you, I'm a really good parent, and I'm really active and engaged, and I couldn't possibly provide for my son what the schools are going to provide for him in terms of his engagement in that event.
I totally agree with you. Well, maybe we can do a couple of lighter things before we're done today. One that I caught my attention was, I liked this in the... it was a item on the agenda, cryogenically
yes.
frozen ice cream. Now, I don't know what that means, but I just had a lot of fun with that. Cryogenically frozen ice cream. Bids were requested for individually packaged cryogenically frozen ice cream. Is that different than regularly frozen ice cream?
It absolutely is different. That is hardcore generic Dippin' Dots right there for you. That is what that is. I was curious about that, too. That's number one on our list of bid items. Hey, we don't mess around with our bids. We make sure we get the best of our generic cryogenically frozen ice cream.
So that is Dippin' Dots?
Yeah.
Those are the little balls?
Yeah.
Okay.
I probably can't say that because that's copyrighted. They're generic.
Well, that's okay.
The little frozen dots of ice cream.
I would not have known what you're talking about unless that. And then you do things like you take the bids on pizza. You're going to have a pizza program.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting also. While not a biggie, at the same time, I'm not sure. Have you made pizzas on location in the past?
David, you're getting deep into the weeds on me now. So we have a nutrition department that acts independently from the school administration. So Lena Fulham is the director of nutrition services, and she does a great job of really thinking through not just the nutritional content of everything that the students consume, but how they interact with it. So we have a lot of fun with it, and I'm going to say yes, we have done that in the past. I'm tap dancing a little bit.
Just a proposals requested for a pizza program for on-site pizza preparation. Of the 7 vendors the bid request was sent to, Smart Mouth Foods was the only vendor to respond. So they proposed an on-site pizza preparation kit with pricing that includes markup to cover the equipment cost, which is projected to be paid for in year one. Well, on-site pizza making at the high schools, it looks
to me. You really shouldn't make light of this, David. This is very serious business.
I think it's very serious.
It's an integral part to the education of students across the district. We want to make sure that we get our pizza making right.
All right. Well, I would want it to be right also. I mean, I'm not arguing about that. I take my pizza pretty seriously.
Absolutely.
All right. Then this is another one of these. We've covered all the heavy stuff. I'm just curious about this. Memorandum of Understanding with Fort Hays State University to allow universities to be placed in the Columbia Public School buildings for clinical and practicum work. Why Fort Hays State? Way out in the far parts of Kansas. Are they really requesting to have work with Columbia Public Schools, and why?
We get requests from all over the place, and we're pretty selective in terms of how we manage those partnerships. We obviously do a lot with the University of Missouri. But, when we have partnership opportunities that match our needs and the direction we want to go with some of our curriculum and different projects that we're involved with, we'll take all comers.
All right. I just wanted to bring that up because I thought I know you've had those probably with Missouri University, with Columbia College, probably do it with maybe Central Methodist and
Absolutely.
Some of those schools around here like that. So I thought Fort Hays was coming a long ways. Yes, go ahead.
Two real quick points.
Yes.
One, the Douglas High School dedication is September 7th at 4:30 right there at Douglas High School. Great way to honor the soul of that building and give it another 100 years. And then also on October 2nd, we're having a World Cafe from 6 to 8 at Stony Creek Inn. This will be an opportunity to, we're completing our first 10-year facilities plan. This will give us the opportunity to get feedback from the community on what our next 10 years should look like. So hope people come out October 2nd, Stony Creek Inn.
I knew there was a World Cafe coming up. I'm glad you brought that up because I thought it was going to be in connection with maybe the boundaries. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it could grow from that. But you're going to say the hard work on the boundaries is going to start next spring.
Right.
So, well, we'll have another opportunity to talk about that probably. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Darren Priest has been our guest. This is KFRU.